Welcome to the For the Church podcast, another great gospel-centered resource from Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. My name is Jared Wilson. I'm an assistant professor of pastoral ministry and author in residence at Midwestern Seminary. And I'm here as always with my friend and my colleague and my co-host, assistant professor of systematic theology. It's automatic. It's thematic. It's systematic.
Wow.
Why, it's Grease Lightning himself, Dr. Ronnie Kurtz. How you been, bro?
Oh, man, I'm good. How are
you? Man, you are you're a mover and a shaker in the world.
You know,
I've seen something. You got your fingers in all kinds of pies, and one of them is not a pie. It's coffee.
A coffee pie.
Your star is the coffee pie. I would try coffee pie.
Yeah. I mean, coffee cake exists.
Starting a coffee shop.
I am.
Yeah. Tell us about the coffee shop that you're starting. You're a coffee magnate now.
Yeah, something like that.
Is this like fourth wave?
No, that doesn't exist. Oh. Well, some people would say
why
it
not?
Exists.
Why can't you? Don't sell yourself short. You and your partners.
I don't know if you know my expertise is in theology. So
the small batch is the third wave, right?
Yes, that's
so
right.
So this could be like even more microscopic.
Yeah,
like
just be one like beat at a time. Yes.
Fourth wave is super exclusive. Yeah, it takes 10 years to get a cup.
That's exactly right. No, we're starting to shop. A family member and I have kind of dreamed about it for a long time, and it's always felt like, I don't know, kind of a wish dream. And then one day, I don't know where the conversation turned, one of us was like, what if we didn't just dream about it and we actually did it? And the dream really started, you know, before I left for Ohio. So when I left for Ohio, it was like really put on hiatus. So we were like, you know, would we start a shop in Ohio? Would we do one in Kansas City? And then when I was brought back to Midwestern, it made the conversation a lot more realistic of like, well, now we could do it in the city we're both in. And so, yeah, there's been a lot of stages to it, and we're still kind of in the early days, but we're starting a specialty coffee shop in Kansas City called Provis Coffee Roasters. And yeah, we, as of the time of this recording, we haven't released any of the like opening date. We haven't released the address or the location of the physical shop, but.
Do you know that?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, it's all done.
You can't share it?
Not quite yet.
Can you share the area?
Yeah, it'll be in North Kansas City.
Okay.
So it'll be in the Northland.
I got you.
Yeah, so it'll be, if you know Kansas City, the Northland, a little bit of a desert of good coffee. And so we wanted to kind of help
I don't know.
I've got some people right here. You know, as long as you just calibrate your taste buds, you can get coffee wherever you want to.
You know what's really sad about this is like, it's not even, I'm a decaf guy. So it's not even about the energy or the, it's just whatever the taste that you say is not there. I just got to have a coffee in the morning.
Okay.
It's like a little treat.
Well, maybe we can help you.
It's
one
like
day.
A little, it's a little treat on the way to work.
I'm glad. Glad for your treat, but I hope to give other people better treats shop. So anyways, follow along. Provis Coffee Roasters.
Talk to me about the name.
Yeah.
You said you were surprised I didn't understand.
You know, I don't assume most people will get it.
There's a dog in
There's
the
a
logo.
Dog. There is a dog in the logo.
The
so as
Provis?
Of the time of this recording,
yeah.
We released the branding this morning.
Okay.
So it was like, this is pretty fresh. Provis is a character in the novel Great Expectations by Charles Dickens.
Okay, yeah.
So the story is kind of fun, but the shop will have a literary feel, and it will make a lot of sense once you're in the shop. So my wife is a designer, a very gifted one at that, and so the shop will have kind of like a 1920s English feel.
Okay.
So there'll be like books on the walls and kind of a dark... dark wood aesthetic, and we wanted to, the Provis, the coffee shop has a few values, but two of them are stories and beauty. And so, and that will come out, you know, more later, but we wanted a name that kind of was a nod to our love of good stories, our love of beauty. And, I remember the first time I ever read Great Expectations when I got introduced to the character Provis. I don't want to give anything away about the book.
I don't know that I've read Great Expectations.
Okay.
I've read some Dickens, but I've not read all Dickens.
Provis, there is kind of a plot twist.
Okay.
And I remember the first time I read it, I was like, oh my word. It was the first time I really wanted to be in a book club. Because like, I need to talk about this.
Oh, interesting.
And so it was like that character kind of invoked in me this like, I want to share this. This is beautiful. And so anyways, we wanted to do a little nod to not it, like the shop's not gonna be like a Dickens themed shop or anything, but a little nod to literature and our love of beauty and our love of stories. And the dog is a Dickens reference. It's a little more niche, but Dickens had a dog that was like inseparable from him. He had three ravens. So we almost, okay. I know, Charles Dickens owned ravens. So we almost went with a raven for the logo.
Okay.
But his best friend was a mastiff named Turk. And so my wife and Josh Brown and his wife, the owners, are all dog lovers. And so it was like a perfect little nod to the ownership and to Dickens' dog named Turk.
Okay.
So there you go.
So y'all are busy now. You're maybe interviewing guys with handlebar mustaches.
That's exactly right.
Yes. Girls with nose rings.
That's right. Yes. We've hired a roaster. So the roaster will move to Kansas City March 1st. I can't release that name yet because he has... put in his resignation at his current coffee shop in St. Louis, but they haven't let all of their wholesale clients know yet. So he'll move here in March, and then he will do most of the interviews for the baristas. So I'm one of the owners, but I'm too busy in my little office doing my things in my world. So I won't actually work in the shop. But
coming up with the literary references
and all those
sorts of things.
Yeah.
Wow, man, I'm excited. Thanks, man. We all have Frappuccinos?
We will have many drinks that you will love.
Okay. Well, I look forward to spending 20 minutes waiting for my drink at...
No, we're going to have better service than that, man.
Provis, yeah, okay. Well, I don't know. I'm picturing like the very careful...
Well, I mean, we'll have pour-overs, but we'll also have other stuff. Milk-based drinks for you, and we'll even have great decaf.
Okay.
So, yeah.
I'm excited about it.
Yeah.
Provis. Speaking of food and drink, we're talking about fasting today.
No, that's a transition.
Yeah. You know, it's a little rough.
Hey, most people allow coffee on their fasts. So,
liquid on mine. I'll do.
Typically, people can do like water, tea, or black coffee. If you add milk to it, you'll break your fast, of course.
Oh,
but yeah.
Okay, then. Yeah. I'm doing it wrong. Sorry, Lord.
Any sugar. I mean, he can forgive you.
I figure if I'm ravenous by the end of the day, I'm doing something right.
Well, there's a difference between just hungry and fasting, but yeah.
Well, it nudges me along. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's talk about fasting. It doesn't seem to be a very popular spiritual discipline.
That's right.
Apart from there are religious traditions that obviously incorporate the fast. Have you ever given up anything for Lent? We're approaching, Lenten season. There are some who will say, I'm going to give up coffee. I'm going to give up chocolate. I'm going to give up candy, something like that. So there's some religious traditions, I guess, that incorporate it. Why do you think more Christians, evangelicals perhaps, maybe even in our tribe, number one, maybe don't practice it, or number two, we don't really talk about it.
Yeah.
That much. Why are we averse to sometimes the subject of fasting?
Yeah. That's a good question. I'm sure someone could give like a more in-depth like historical study, like when it's sort of falling out of favor, because it is all over the scriptures.
Yeah.
It's not just like one or two locations. I mean, it is everywhere. And it honestly feels to me like it's the deacons of spiritual habits. Because deacons can be like undervalued and fasting can be undervalued. And yet both are designed by God, gifts from God, in order to bring about health in the individual and in the corporate body. And so to answer your question, like why it's gone away, I do think there is there's just a lack of clarity on like, what is it? Mm. Why am I supposed to do it? And even if there is clarity on why I'm supposed to do this, it's not easy. It can be frustrating. It can be hard. And there's sometimes where the benefits aren't immediate. And man, when you're getting real hungry and the benefits aren't immediate, you start to question, what am I even doing here? Like, is this silly? What would you say? Why do you think it's kind of gone away?
Well, I mean, cynically, because fundamentally it's about giving up a comfort, giving up a satisfaction. And that's just not something that I think American culture or Western culture values.
Yeah,
we're all about embracing comfort, seeking our little treats. You know, the idea of going without.
Yeah,
especially for it's probably connected to why. Obviously, I think prayer is practiced more often, but I think it's why prayerlessness is such a plague too, because there is no immediate tangible benefit. It feels in some ways impractical. And so if I'm not seeing a payoff, or I don't see the immediate benefit of this thing, I don't see how it's forming me. I don't see what it's doing spiritually for me, or even what the purpose of it is.
Yes.
yeah, it goes against the grain of of the flesh.
Which is fascinating because, I mean, maybe you would disagree, but I'm seeing a significant rise in secular fasting.
Yeah, like for health reasons.
For health reasons, yeah. Like intermittent fasting. And even recently, I meant to kind of refresh my mind on this, but there was a Nobel Peace Prize given to a scientist who found some like pretty significant health benefits to fasts that break the 30-hour mark of like your body starting to heal itself from the inside. And so it's interesting to see like, the Lord probably knew what he was doing when he instituted this thing, you know, and to see the rise. And I even found, like, I got convicted because there was a while back where I was doing some weight loss stuff and I was doing intermittent fasting and I was like, man, it's crazy that it took my desire to lose weight.
Yeah.
This like practical, pragmatic thing that I get out of it for me to really start taking fasting as a regular rhythm in my life.
Yeah.
And not like the spiritual benefit that I see in the scriptures. But anyways, I just found that, you know, it wanes in the church and it's kind of going up in the secular world.
Yeah. Well, I mean, as a spiritual discipline or just as a discipline, there is, you know, obviously the aspect of self-control, mm-hmm. of being able to not, you know, to not be mastered by your appetites.
Yes.
And so to go without, you know, I think sometimes takes more discipline or takes more initiative than we usually apply to the area of food, where, you know, food is sort of like where we let go and mm-hmm. kind of release, and it's the reward, it's the satisfaction, or maybe it's just the mindless fuel. I'm just
stuffing
my face because it's time to eat, you know.
Yeah.
We don't bring thoughts of self-control mm-hmm. there. And yet you get into the fitness world and exercise world, and yes. it is about discipline.
That's right.
And regiment and yep. those sorts of things. And we see a payoff because, mm-hmm. hey, I'm losing weight or I'm gaining muscle, I'm mm-hmm. looking better, I'm feeling healthier, those sorts of things. And we don't, you know, make the translation over to spiritual health and mm-hmm. how the benefit is to actually, I will not be mastered by anything, mm-hmm. right? But I'm going to buffet my body and, you know, having the spiritual sensitivity that real fasting mm-hmm. can bring about. Are you one who thinks, like, you know, obviously biblically when there is a fast, it is, is food, we're fasting from food. Would you say, because there's some who will say we shouldn't use, you know, the concept of a fast or apply a fast to things other than food. Would you agree with that?
I want to speak out of both sides of my mouth if I can. I think it's wise and can be good and helpful to fast from other things, especially if you find them as a spiritual distraction.
Yeah.
I think technology is becoming probably the most popular thing to fast from, and I think that's probably good.
Hmm.
With that being said, there is something unique about food.
Yeah.
It is, you are hardwired to need it. You have to have it. Such that one of my favorite things about fasting, and this is not something I could like chapter and verse, like here's the reason you should fast, which I do think there's some reasons we could chapter and verse, but one of the I love is it reminds me of my creatureliness.
Yeah.
And so when I feel that like actual gnawing in my stomach, and when you can, like, my wife's in with me at church and she can like hear my stomach growl, like, oh my gosh, you know, it's like alarming.
Yeah.
It's an actual tangible, I can hear it and feel it reminder, you're not God. And without his provision, you will die. Fasting from technology doesn't give me that. It's good and wise to do that.
Sure.
But there is something about food where it's like, no, I will actually die if I don't have this.
Yeah, yeah.
And that kind of desperation kicks up in you something that non-food fasting has a hard time doing.
Yeah. You know, fasting is, and so often connected to prayer, I think because of that expression of dependence. I
mean,
what is prayer? It is an expression of helplessness. We talk to God because God knows things we don't know, has things we don't have, can do things we can't do, because he's God and we're not.
Yes.
We are dependent on him. So when I'm praying, or, you know, when I'm engaged in prayer, it's because I realize I'm dependent on him. He is God and I'm not. And when I'm not praying, it's because in some ways I'm depending on myself. I think mm-hmm. I can figure these things out, and you know. And fasting is like that. Fasting is kind of like a, you know, dramatized prayer.
Yes.
It's me acting out with my body the dependence on God, that I need God to live, that he is God and I am not. And, you know, just as, you know, you know, we're told man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. To fast in a way is to say, I actually need the Lord more than I need food.
Yes.
If I don't eat food forever, I'll die. But if I don't have God, I'm going to spiritually die. Mm-hmm. And one of those is worse than the other. So, I think the fasting, you know, puts us more in touch with our dependence on the Lord. I do think it's not, you know, the same thing giving up something else besides food. But I do think anything that has masked that you feel like this is a little, this is out of, I have a dependence on this. Maybe I should say, maybe it's reaching an idolatrous place in your life. Or it's just something that you overly depend on. If I can't get through the day, if I don't have, I would use coffee.
Technology, yeah.
I need, you know, I'm relying on the caffeine in such a way to give me energy, strength to get me through the afternoon, something that you're going to notice the effects of, not just like I'm giving up candy for Lent. Well, okay, you know what I mean. You're not gonna, you know, your stomach's not gonna growl. You're not gonna have a headache, you know. But if it's something, and so I think technology can fit into there, because if someone's realizing, man, my life really is orienting around frittering time away on social media or watching YouTube or whatever it is, where like that gets me through the day. I can't wait to get to this thing. This is what's gonna really help me. You know, manage my stress or whatever it is. I think fasting from that can be a valuable spiritual discipline, because you're saying, I depend on the Lord, not this. Setting it aside for a period of time to be able to you know, remind yourself of where your true dependence is.
Yeah. I think too, even for this podcast, just kind of, you know, in my office, just reviewing all the biblical passages that talk about fasting, something that really jumped out to me that I felt like, why didn't I have this as like a working category even beforehand, was the reasons biblically that fasting comes up. A very common one is often a decision needs to be made, right? So that's you know, it says of Paul and Barnabas, you know, when they were appointing elders, they fasted. However, one that I kind of slips me, and I was reminded of preparing for this episode, is lament. That is a really common connecting reality in scripture. So like Aaron's son dies, and in his mourning he fasts. David and the Israelites, Jonathan dies, and or not Jonathan, Saul dies, and David and Jonathan and all of Israel fast in mourning for him. And so even thinking about, not only does fasting like help you recenter on the Lord, but there's like a number of benefits to fasting, of like trying to make a decision or like an intercessory prayer or like a mourning. When you look at the context of why people fast in the Bible, it's actually really valuable in a number of angles, which is kind of lost on people, I think.
Yeah. Let's talk about the practice of it a little bit.
Yeah.
So there will be some, you know, we want to pay close attention to Jesus's words about not making a show of our fast or trying to parade our spirituality, to fast immodestly, I suppose. You know, he says you should wash your face and all these sorts of things, so you're not like making, you know, making it obvious, I guess. At the same time, right, there may be people close to you that, you know, need to be brought in to like, hey, this is what I'm doing on this day.
Yeah.
So that they can, you know, pray for you or support you, or, you know, or participate with you.
Yeah.
But even if not, so like that there's just a mindfulness of, you know, if it's an ongoing practice, hey, you know, I take this day every week, or I'm going to, you know, for the next, you know, 30, 48 hours or something, I'm going to be fasting. Yeah, there may be people that you can bring in. That's not the same thing as trying to make a show of your, righteousness before others. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we want to have a modesty about it. We don't want to, you know, probably not a, if you're having to post on social media that you're doing this, you should at least ask yourself, why are you doing that?
Yeah.
What's the point of doing that? Yeah.
I have a hard time imagining a reason to post it on social media, but that's just me being like, maybe overly cynical about myself. It's one thing to like tell my wife, hey, if I'm acting a little odd, it might be because I'm angry. I'm going to try to watch that during my fast. But man, posting on social media, I would say, not only should you ask yourself, like, you know, is there a reason not to do this? I would ask, is there any reason to do it?
Yeah.
That feels like a violation of Matthew 16 to me, but.
Yeah. This is what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6.
Oh, sorry, Matthew 6, yeah.
Whenever you, I didn't know if there was another passage that I wasn't aware of. Maybe Provis is mentioned in Matthew 6. And Jesus said unto Provis, heal dog. Okay. Whenever you fast, don't be gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces so that their fasting is obvious to people. Truly I tell you, they have their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face so that your fasting isn't obvious to others, but to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. What are the rewards for fasting?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think you could go a lot of ways with that, but I think more than anything, the primary reward is God himself, in the sense of in a world that is constantly trying to get me away from my creaturely dependence upon God.
Yeah.
Fasting is this gravitational reality check of like, no, you cannot escape your limitedness.
Yeah.
Nor should you. And real beauty, real meaning is found in pressing into your limitedness, not trying to escape it. So that when I'm fasting and I have this gnawing in my stomach, which draws my attention back to the Lord, I'm reminded you are unbelievably dependent upon the most dependable one
right.
in the cosmos. Mm. And that is a reward beyond measure.
Yeah, to discover, rediscover through the fast, as with any spiritual discipline, that the Lord is good, the Lord can be trusted,
mm-hmm.
That the joy of the Lord is your strength, right? It's not food, it's the joy of God. And then to trust, I think, as with any spiritual discipline, that there will be benefits that you may not see.
That's right.
I'm trusting that, you know, I'm walking by faith in this.
That's huge.
And there's a shaping, formative aspect to this that I may not see the benefit of mm-hmm. for a long, long time. Yeah, similar to, I think, to any, you know, efforts of self-control, physical fitness as well. Like, it, you know, takes a while
mm-hmm.
to develop endurance. It takes a while to develop strength. It takes a while to see, you know, weight loss, those sorts of things. And in a parallel way, and even more important way, the habits, the rhythms, the spiritual disciplines, they're making you into something. And you may not see it right away, but there is a reward. There is a... you know, as our friend Drew Dick says, your future self.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, thank you.
That's right.
You'll see the payoff in the future. All right. I think we did okay.
Hey, good.
Yeah. All right. You can fast from the podcast. We're not so big that we think you can't give us up. And we'll still be here. You can come back and then, you know, fast and then binge.
Hey, that's how it goes. FCC podcast.
There's a real spiritual note to end on. If you enjoy the podcast, dear listener, give us a good review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, wherever you listen to or watch your favorite podcast. And until next time, may Jesus be big in your church. You threw me off. You like leaned.
Sorry.
I thought your head was about to be in the frame. I was like, what is he doing? Is he going to throw up?
May Jesus be big.
May Jesus be big
in your church.
As big as Ronnie's head in front of the camera.